It's time for Language Matters with Nat Benchley, WHDD's language guy.
Once again, I'd like to take a moment of your time to talk about some language matters because, well, language matters. You may remember from our rather lengthy introduction last time that we're not trying to be dictatorial or totally prescriptive or proscriptive, but we're more trying to encourage awareness of the ways in which we and our friends communicate. Now, today's first topic is one which tends to stir a lot of juices, partially because it hits so close to home. It has to do, as Jill guessed last time, with me and myself and you and yourself. And it is my contention that it largely has to do with people feeling uneasy about saying me. Now, I've already bored Jill and several other language enthusiasts with a story, but it's one that will haunt me to my grave, so I'd like to ask her forgiveness if I tell it one more time to share it with all of you, or both of you, listening. When I met the wonderful Patricia T. O'Connor and Stuart Kellerman, they of the infinitely resourceful Grammarphobia website, a couple of weeks ago at a book signing, and told them this story, I could see a shudder running down their collective and individual backs. In any case, some years ago, I was listening to the radio and I heard a DJ talk about an appearance she and her partner were going to make. And she was excited, as I feel sure people being paid just to appear can be. And she said, "Oh, it'll be great. It's him and I's first time." And I was and am so absolutely stunned by that grammatical construction that I've had to ask where it could possibly even have come from. My conclusion, totally unscholarly and unscientific and unresearched, is that many people are just uncomfortable about using personal pronouns. I mean, she could have said his and my or even our. And I think it's because if they don't know what's correct, they jump to something they think is formal. And myself wonders where this comes from. Another egregious instance in the media, and again, this is where it bothers me because you see it printed or on TV and radio and people think, well, that's a educated person. They must know what they're talking about. A news reporter previewing a segment he was about to do in this particular instance was a very high-profile reporter. He was going to do a segment with an athlete, and he said, "Sean and myself are going to pick this Sunday's games." And I don't know what's wrong with the word I. In many cases, it is, I think, unfamiliarity with pronouns. I also heard on an upscale news report a while ago, a reporter saying her and Officer Rivera were to be married next week. And I just don't get it. Her is never a subject. It is an object. And I'd like to know the school that let them get out with that kind of English in their backpack. This may be an example of one of those places where we really should fall back on rules. Myself is really generally not a subject. It is an object, usually of a preposition, unless it is what's called, and here again, we have to be careful about rules, unless it's what's called an intensive. I, myself, would not do that. It's acceptable, but in that instance, you really have to have the original pronoun, I. You can't just say, myself would not do that. Well, obviously, as we've seen, you can, but you certainly shouldn't. Now, to be fair, again, as we discussed last time, given the modern loosening of rules and what I think is the emphasis on self-esteem in the last few decades, there are situations in which myself is considered acceptable as a subject, if somewhat informal in speech. My daughter and myself play the guitar. Well, there are people who accept it. I just happen to believe. And again, I'm not making rules, I'm just making very strong suggestions that it leads to other misuses and misunderstandings. And it should, as far as I can tell, really not be used in writing. Now, Strunk and White have all kinds of rules about personal pronouns and how they change form and function, and I think they're worth looking at. They also lay down as a recommendation, and some of their stuff really are rules that should be followed. They say, in terms of the personal pronoun, use the simple personal pronoun as a subject. Freddie and myself do not go to the concert. Freddie and I go. Advertisers, too, love this construction. They write copy like, "For yourself and your loved one, we offer..." Well, what's the problem? Why do we have to be so formal? What's wrong with "for you and your loved one"? Anyway, Sometimes, on purpose, I will puncture this construction by adding another intensive for your very self, for your very own self. But I maintain that, as I said last time, in those instances, I know I'm being arch and facetious and, for what it's worth, give myself license to play around. If there's an instance where I'm writing and something really matters, I won't play that way. One of the tests I often use to determine the proper personal pronoun, particularly when you may smell a problem or when there are more than one, is to just eliminate the other one. Would that policeman have said her was going to be married next week? I doubt it. But somehow her and Officer Rivera seemed acceptable to him. Again, it's just an unawareness, a lack of awareness of what's being said. I would really, I guess, just request that people listen and see if something sounds inappropriate or at all funky. We've discussed the fact that the grammar phobia people made fun of it in a book called Woe Is I. And I think there's a lot of ways to become more aware of it. So, Jill, does yourself have a comment or a critique or a question?
I have many. I think that one of the problems is that people don't know to reverse. I mean, the rules, you know how people can glaze over rules. They just can't. Yep. And grammar, I have to confess, until I learned French grammar, I was useless at English grammar. Because I liked playing with the words and the letters, and I really – it was more a natural hearing thing for me. Mm-hmm. But when I had those rules, it was very easy to go back to these other rules. So I think that people don't know – for example, when you say Sean – people don't know whether to say Sean and I or Sean and me. Mm-hmm. And so they go for – it's like they grab anything, and they don't – no to reverse, you know, it's like, okay, we'll say me, you know, I am going with
he.
Yeah. I'm going with him.
Right.
So once you can do that.
Well, I think part of the problem, and you're quite right about learning another language, but I think that goes to the point that the two points there. First of all, English is one of the hardest languages in the world to learn for foreigners because there are almost more exceptions than there are rules. And you're right that people gloss over rules these days. They don't want to hear about them. They don't want to hear structure. They don't want to hear all that formal stuff. And that's where they get in trouble because they have nothing to fall back on. So learning another language focuses you on how they do it. I took a test in the Navy that was on basic language skills, and they made up a language out of whole cloth and out of various parts of Latin and Greek and other languages and constructed something that didn't exist and gave you rules and then asked you to work with the language. And it was very instructive to see how a language comes into being. And I think particularly in English and particularly in American English these days, people, as you say, don't want to learn rules, don't want to hear about them, so they just go with anything. And that's where they get in trouble. And they sound as though they're speaking really bad English, which they are.
All right, let's go back to Sean and I for a second, okay. Or I and Sean. Mm-hmm. Sean and myself are not going to pick – okay, because that's where we – you know.
Okay.
So who's going to pick those because –
Sean and I are. I mean, I is the subject. Sean and I are going to do this. I am going to do this. We are.
But the way to reverse it is I am going to do this with Sean.
That's fine.
Not I and Sean are going to.
Well, unfortunately, that one, you see, you're right. But
that's, I think that's where it goes.
But that's also, unfortunately, these days acceptable.
You're kidding.
People reverse stuff. It isn't good, but it's at least the right form. Sean and I are going to do this. And if people
I and
be,
Marshall are not going to a broadcast tomorrow.
Well, that's just a rule that says you should put the other person first. It's the right – all I'm saying is it's the right form, the right
– Marshall and I are going.
Exactly.
But I am going with Marshall.
Right.
Therefore, him and I are not going. But he and I are.
But again, you have –
I have to have the with.
Exactly. You know what you're doing, and you're not just saying it incorrectly out of – dare I use the word ignorance. And that's part of the point is that when people – forego or deny all the rules, they get into that kind of trouble and they sound silly. And there are people I work with regularly who talk like that, and I've given up. I can't. I mean, Kathy keeps telling me you can't correct people all the time.
Sure,
but my point is, no, I can't really because I get smacked. My point is that I started out and then I stopped, but there are some people I know of who are now more aware and who listen in their own head. And that's all I'm asking, is that maybe in the middle of a sentence they'll stop themselves and say, you know, they gave it to him and him and me, him and I, him and me. They gave it to him and me. They gave it to us.
Right.
And
by the way, that is simple. That's something that you can always do. And I bail myself out a lot, because what I think that in speaking, just because it's gotten lax, what people don't realize is when you are doing a between us, you know, it's between the two of them. It's with him or her. You can always stop yourself.
You can if you have been given the basic tools somewhere in school to look at this, to look at a few rules. And I just worry that these days schools don't do that much anymore. I don't know what it is, whether it's too structured, too strictured, too something. But it seems to me that an awful lot of English, basic English usage, is just not being taught, so that today's students don't have those tools to stop themselves and ask.
And I also think it doesn't sound wrong anymore to hear Nat and myself are going to move on to the next segment.
That's the problem. It doesn't.
And that's where that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. What about me, just before you do your words, what about me, myself, and I? Because that was part of growing – that was always a running joke when I was growing up. So that was 100 years ago.
All of us, all the three of us are going out to the movies?
The three of us, me, myself, and I.
Well, again, I think it was a running joke at a time when we knew the difference and we knew to say, you know, me's not going, I'm going. And I may be going with myself because it's the object of a preposition.
I'm taking myself to the movies.
Right. And we'll go with me.
Right.
But that was, again, knowing what you're talking about so you can have fun with it or understand when it doesn't sound right. And that's what I worry may be going by the boards. And I just, again, would ask if people think they hear something funky, think about it. And
it may be your instincts actually saying that's not quite right.
Yeah. With any luck. And again, if we beat on these things every so often, I'm hoping some of our six list. We have six or seven now.
I think we're maybe up to seven.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Maybe they'll stop and say, wait a minute, I heard something about that. And that, okay, that's why it sounds wrong. It's the best I can hope for. I'll tilt at the windmills as long as I can.
Don Quixote. Okay, so Nat and I are going to move on to words.
We are. We're going to move on to a wonderful word, which I love for the sound, but which is also coming into more common usage these days. In many instances, in terms of trade and commodities, but it is the word fungible, which means roughly interchangeable. Money is fungible. It can be exchanged for other commodities. And slightly further ahead in the dictionary, but in the same general area, is a word not to be confused with fungible, which is frangible. Again, I like the sound. It doesn't get used a whole lot. It means capable of being broken. So when the male bovine meets the frangibles, the China shop owner is in distress. It's directly from Middle Latin, from frangere, to break, and fungibilis, from to perform the office of. So there, again, if you play with word roots and origins, etymology was one of my favorite subjects in school. And these days you can see where so much, particularly of English, comes from. Whether it's from German, Romance languages, Latin, but those are two of my favorites for this week. Next time, we'll talk about a couple of other more esoteric words that are still fun.
Fungible and frangible. And don't forget that in many cases, having moved right along, etymology is now the study of bugs.
No.
I know, but that's what happened.
I'm sure.
Because it's, you know, drop an N and there you go.
Oh, well, yeah. Next time we'll talk about what one letter can do to a sentence.
That's right. All right. Well, this has been Nat Benchley, Language Matters.
Because language matters.
You've been listening to Language Matters with Nat Benchley, WHTD's language guy, and Jill Goodman.